and welcome to Hebrew Club. I'm Tom Egger, and I'm filling in for Dr. Seleska today. He is out of town for the next couple of weeks, and we left off last week in 1 Samuel 15. We'd gotten up to verse 12. This is the passage where King Saul disobeys God's command and is rebuked by Samuel, and God removes his favor from Saul as the king. And we had just gotten into that back in verse 10. It reads, "And the word of Yahweh was to Samuel, saying, I regret, or I am sorry, nakam in the PL, I regret that him lakti et Shaul Lamelech, that I kinged Saul as king, for Shav me akarai v'et divarai lo hakim, for he has turned from after me," he is no longer following after me, in other words, "and my words he has not accomplished," or he has not upheld. The root there is kum in the hifil, and we're going to see that again in Saul's mouth in a little bit. So take note of God's charge against him. He has not put into practice or accomplished my words. And then notice there at the end of verse 11, Samuel's reaction. It says, "Vayikar le Shemuel," and it burned, and it was kindled to Samuel. That's an idiom for saying Samuel was angry, he was indignant. "Vayizak el Yahweh," and he cried out to Yahweh, "kol halayla," all the night. Alright, that brings us up to verse 12. It's interesting, two things are interesting, I think, to note. I was just reading an article on Hebrew stories, Old Testament stories, last night, and it points out a couple of things to pay attention to are scene changes. That's a good way to kind of keep track of where the story is going, either when the place changes or when the time changes significantly. So here we have a significant time change. It ends with kol halayla, all the night, and the next verb is ba yaskem, and he got up early. And we're going to have the word boker in that same clause in the morning. So we have a scene change here, and another thing to pay attention to as we go here are the way that the character in the story's speech is what's primarily used by the narrator to show what kind of a person they are, to reveal their heart. There isn't a lot of third-person description of, Saul was this kind of a man. I guess it is. He is described as tall earlier in Kings, but for the most part, we don't get physical descriptions of characters. Their nature is revealed by what comes out of their mouths and by their actions. And both of those are significant here. We've seen Saul's actions, but now in this section, we're going to see how he describes his action and the way that the narrator has him talking. So verse 12, "Vayaskem Shemuel likrat Shaul baboker." And Samuel rose up early. Shakam is a hifil basic verb, just means to rise early. He got up early to greet or to meet Saul in the morning, baboker. Then another vav consecutive, "by you God l'Shemuel." This is actually a hofal form, "by you God." You can recognize the hofal by the kibbutz, the U vowel, underneath the performative. It's not very common that you get that U vowel. Usually a hofal will have a comments under its performative, but this is a first nun root, and when it loses that nun in the hofal, that tends to go to a kibbutz. When the kibbutz is under the first root letter, that's usually a clue that it's a pu'al form. And this might throw you off a little bit as possibly a pu'al form, but when the U vowel is under the preformative, that tells you it's a hofal. This is a hifil basic verb from nagad, which means to tell. The hofal makes it passive. So, "and it was told l'Shemuel," to Samuel. "And it was told to Samuel." This is an example of an incomplete passive construction. There's no agent given. There's no subject. It just kind of floats out there. It was told to Samuel. You don't know who exactly is doing the telling. Lamor saying, Ba Shaul Ha Carmela, saying, Saul has gone, or Saul went, to Carmel. You have a directive hey at the end of Carmel there. You also have the definite article on the front. Some place names just like to have the definite article and others don't. So if you do a word study on Carmel in the scripture, almost always it has the definite article. They just like to say the Carmel. This is not Mount Carmel, which is up in the northwest along the Mediterranean Sea. This is the town or the village of Carmel, which is down in the south. It's south of Hebron, which is south of Jerusalem. And if you remember from previously in this chapter, Saul is down in the south fighting the Amalekites, and he's conquered them, and so now he's on his way back up. So it's reported to Samuel, who would have probably sought Saul down in the south, that Saul has gone to Carmel. Vahine Matziv lo yad Vayesov Vayaavor Vayered HaGilgal. So he's going to end up at Gilgal here. He's gone to Carmel, and behold, and notice the way that you have this hine clause stuck in the middle of various vav consecutive imperfects. Well, actually, we just had a perfect that began the chain. He went to Carmel, and now you have hine plus a participle. And it's going to be followed by more vav consecutive imperfects. So you have your standard past tense narration, perfect plus vav consecutive imperfect, and you have this hine plus participle interrupting it. And it kind of highlights this one portion of the report. This one thing that he does, this one action, stands out above all the rest. What is this one action that stands out? Vahine matziv lo yad. And behold, he is setting up, or he was setting up, lo, for himself, yad, a hand. This is actually taken by most as a monument, and apparently yad can have the sense, a rare use of the word yad, a memorial or a monument. So he's setting up a monument for himself, and then it returns to the preterite again, and he went around from Savav, and he crossed over Avar, and he went down, by Yered is from Yarad, to descend, and he went down to Gilgal. These are traveling terms. Anytime you have these specific traveling terms, it's probably telling you something about the geography. So he went around, and he crossed over, and he went down to Gilgal. And if you look at the map here, I can kind of send this around. Amalek is way down here in the south, and Carmel is just south of Hebron. Gilgal is up here north of the Dead Sea. So to get there, you have to go around a lot of the mountains, cross over a couple of rivers, and then you'll notice that Gilgal is back down in the plain on the eastern side of this ridge of mountains. So, and he descends to Gilgal. So that would have been familiar to the hearers of the narrative here. Verse 13, Vayavo Shemuel el Shaul. And Samuel came to Saul. So he finds Saul, and where is he? At Gilgal. Vayomer lo Shaul. And Saul said to him, Saul said. Now this is interesting that it fronts the preposition here. Normally you have verb subject. Here it's verb prepositional phrase subject. Vayomer lo Shaul. And to him, Saul said. Samuel's the one going to confront Saul, right? But before he can speak a word, Saul's already speaking to him. Saul speaks first, and that's accented here. Baruch atah la Yahweh. Baruch is a call passive participle acting as a predicate adjective here. Blessed are you, la Yahweh, with this passive verb form, Baruch. A lot of times passives, when the agent is given, the agent is indicated by a lamed. So blessed are you by Yahweh. something's happening to Saul. He's being blessed, and to tell who's doing the blessing, you use lamed. That's the agent of the passive verb, la Yahweh. Blessed are you by Yahweh, hakimoti et devar Yahweh. First thing out of Saul's mouth here after he greets Samuel, I have accomplished, or I have put into practice, et devar Yahweh, the word of Yahweh. Now this is kind of like, it seems to me, in the context of what's going to follow, like when you come home and your child says, I didn't break the vase, or something like that, right when you come in the door. Maybe it's not quite that striking, but it is an interesting way to begin his interaction with Samuel. I have kept the word of Yahweh. It's also interesting because, as I mentioned before in verse 11, this is specifically Yahweh's charge against him. Saul has not the hithel of kum, my words. Saul greets Samuel and says, I have the hithel of kum, Yahweh's word. It sets his character in direct opposition to Yahweh, not only in his disobedience, but also in the way that he estimates the action. He sees it completely differently than Yahweh.
What again is the meaning of the hithel of kum?
The meaning of the hithel of kum, literally kum is to arise, and the hithel is to cause to arise. It can mean to set up or to establish, but when it comes to a commandment or something like that, it usually means to act in accordance with, okay, or to uphold, okay, or to put into practice. Yeah. Verse 14. Vayomer Shemuel, Umeh kol hatzon hatzeh. And Samuel said, and what is this sound of the sheep, Baoznai, in my ears? Notice he begins his question with the conjunction umeh, so he doesn't just ask a question out of the blue. Oh, by the way, what's the sound of this sheep? He's connecting his question back with what Saul has just claimed. I've kept the word of Yahweh, and Samuel says, and what, we might say, what then is this sound of the sheep? That construction, kol hazon hazeh, kol is the masculine noun. Tzon is usually feminine, so that tells you that the demonstrative hazeh goes with the kol. It's not what is the sound of this sheep, but rather what is this sound of sheep, of the sheep, in my ears. And the kol habakar asher anoki shomea, and the sound of the cattle which I am hearing. So right away, Samuel gets to the point, and Saul's going to know what he's talking about. But first, notice the way that Saul tries to explain. He says, verse 15, Vayomer Shaul, and Saul said, Me amalaki hevi'um asher kaval ha'am almeitav hatzon v'habakar. He says, from the Amaleki, from the Amalekites, they brought them. He vi'um. There's a number of elements there. It's a hithil perfect from bo, which means to cause to come or to bring. It's third person plural, they brought, and then it has an object suffix on the end. They brought them. But notice how he begins his explanation. He's not in the picture here. Where did these sheep and cattle come from? They brought them from the Amalekites. A share here in this context doesn't seem to work well as a relative pronoun, which. It's a little awkward to try to take it that way. And when that's the case, which is fairly often, you can look for, the next place to look for the meaning of a share is in the word ki, the Hebrew word ki. Oftentimes a share acts kind of like the Hebrew word ki. The various uses that you expect for ki, a share can sometimes assume those. And here it works well as a causal. So they brought them from the Amalekites. Why? How did this come about that they brought them from the Amalekites? Because kamal ha'am al, Kamal, the verb kamal plus the preposition all means to take pity upon or to spare. And here the sense isn't compassion, but just sparing. And who's doing the sparing? Again, it's not Saul. Ha'am. So kamal ha'am, all. The people spared. What did they spare? Meitav hatzon v'habakar. The best parts. Yeah, it's a noun from the root tov, good. And they spared the best parts of the sheep and the cattle. Why did they do it? Saul continues to not only distance himself from what happened, but to justify it. There's a good reason, he says, lema'an, in order to, savoa la Yahweh Eloheka. Savoa is the verb to sacrifice, savak, or savoak, I should say. And it's the infinitive construct is the form here, following lema'an, it's giving purpose. In order to sacrifice to Yahweh Eloheka. What do you notice about this here?
It's your God.
Yeah, in order to sacrifice to Yahweh, your God. Again, his words have significance in this passage. He's characterized as perhaps not being full-heartedly a follower of Yahweh at this point. He continues, Ve'et ha-yoter, but the remainder, the rest, this is a noun related to the, actually it's the participle of yatar, to remain, but the remaining ones, he karamnu. Now this is a hithil perfect from karam, which is related to the Hebrew word karam that you come across, especially in the conquest narratives, to devote to destruction. It means to utterly destroy and exterminate. In devotion to God. This is the verbal form, and notice what the subject is. Who's the subject of the verb?
Saul.
It has a new ending, so it's we. So now, for the first time, Saul puts himself in the picture. All of the sparing stuff happened. That was what the people did. To bring the sheep and goats up, that was they. But now you get we, and it's Saul himself now who is actually doing the one thing that God did command, which was to devote all these to destruction. We'll just do one more verse here. Vayomer Shemuel el Shaul, and Samuel said to Saul, and this is a great little word here, heref. This is a hithil imperative, and the root is a third hey, rapha. Rapha, don't confuse that with rapha with an aleph on the end, which is a common verb that means to heal. This is a verb that means to be slack or to hang loose or to drop down. And in the hithil, it means, as an imperative here, it's idiomatic. It means basically what I always say to my kids when they are arguing with each other in the car, back and forth and back and forth, and they just seem to not want to end the argument. I say, please drop it. And that's what Samuel's saying to Saul here. Saul is, he has this, all these protests of his innocence and explanations. In one word, Samuel cuts him off. Heref, he says, stop it, drop it. And then you have a simple vav plus imperfect. Actually, it's a simple vav plus a cohortative, which gives the consequence that will follow this imperative. Stop it so that I may tell, again we have the hithil verb nagad here, so that I may tell laka to you, et asher deber Yahweh, a lie. That which, and the relative pronoun here as the direct object, so that I may tell that which Yahweh spoke to me, halayla. This is an accusative, adverbial accusative of time. It's just a noun sitting there, but it describes the time frame of the verb. All which Yahweh spoke to me at night, Vayomer lo daber, and he said to him, speak. So this is Saul's response. Notice there's an extra vav on the end of Vayomer, but there's no vowel pointing for it. You see the little circle above it, circule, and out in the margin there's a kare reading without the vav. So it's apparently just a scribal error. They just stuck an extra vav in. It's just Saul and Samuel who are primarily in the dialogue here, so it's Saul's response, and he said to him, "Speak." How Saul continues in his confrontation how Samuel continues in his confrontation of Saul, we will pick up next week with verse 17.